Judaism. He wrote it to demonstrate the superiority of Jesus versus the law. And you know, when you look at that, and I think about our world the way that it is now. As I said, he wrote it to be an encouragement. And Lord knows we need some encouraging. When we look at everything that's going on, not just in our nation, but in the world, worldwide, we need some encouragement. Because if we would focus in on what is going on in the world and remain focused in, I can't speak for anybody else, but it's depressing out there. I mean, this hate monger, that hate monger, you're doing wrong and I'm going to blast you on whatever social media you're on. And that's the world we live in. And if we stay focused in on that, as I said, it can be a bit depressing. But here in Hebrews 12, verse 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, this one scripture right here should motivate us to get our focus on what our focus needs to be on. To get our focus on Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. We don't need to be looking at the world. Because if we look at the world, we're going to get pulled into what the world is doing. We don't need to be looking at another person. Because one thing about people, one thing about man, eventually they are going to let you down. Eventually, you are going to be disappointed. But if we are to look to Jesus, there is no disappointment in Jesus. There is no letting down with Jesus. There is nothing but love, joy, peace, mercy, salvation. All of this is in Jesus. Now, when we look to Jesus, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And when you look at that phrase, author and finisher, he wrote the book. And when I say he wrote the book, I'm talking about he wrote the book on all of eternity. Eternity past, eternity future, eternity that I plan to walk in with him. He wrote the book. He's the author. He's the finisher of my faith. He's the one that I have to be persuaded to know that he is faithful, who has promised, and he will perform it in my life. So we look to Jesus. We don't look to the world. We don't get caught up in worldly things. You know, I was thinking about sports. As a youngin', I played sports for many years. I'm not a youngin' anymore, but I'm not old either. But I'm not a youngin'. And growing up, my sports were volleyball and softball. I've never cared for football. I've never cared for basketball. Now, I don't watch any sports at all. Sometimes when I'm at the gym and it's baseball season, I find myself not going to that next rep that I should be going to because I'm focused in on, ooh, did you see that play? Oh, that was good. You know, sometimes we get our focus on things of the world, not realizing that's not where our focus needs to be. Because if we allow ourselves to be focused in on the world is going to pull us in. The world has a suction. And it's not a good suction. It's a downhill suction. And it's like if you have a like a funnel and you've put some liquid in it. Have you ever watched it go down? It starts to swirl, and it's, you know, it's pretty wide at the top, and it's swirling, and then it gets smaller, 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 and then it gets sucked down into the drain. That's what the world will do to us. If we allow our attention, if we allow looking to the world will suck us in. You know, and it's something about when we're looking to Jesus, that needs to be our sole function. We need to fix our eyes on him and not get pulled away with anything else. And then when we get our eyes fixed on him, we can understand why he is the author and finisher of our faith. When we get our eyes fixed on him, when we get our eyes locked on him, we see the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary's cross. We know all that he endured, which I'll get to in just a little bit. But that helps us to see this is where my attention needs to be. So we look to him and he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And this proclaims who he is and what he has done for us. And we can just stop right there for a minute. And you think about an author. When they sit down to write a book, they begin at the beginning. And we know in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know that Jesus was in the beginning. And so we know that he was there from the beginning. Forgive me. And then the author, they're going to finish the book. Okay, I have to tell y'all, because I know y'all are going, why she laugh? Y'all know our granddaughter. Well, some of y'all know our granddaughter, Charlie, 5. She'll be 6 in April. And she came and she asked the question, who created God? So we begin to explain to her that God was in the beginning. She said, and I had to send her to Grandpa. I said, go ask Grandpa or Daddy. She said, well, how did he get in the beginning? And I thought, Pastor had the best answer, because I tried to take it all with Scripture. You know, I'm taking her to John, I'm taking her to Genesis, and we're walking through and she's going, explain it so I can understand it. Okay, she's 5. So she went to Grandpa. Nice picture, by the way, Brother Xavius. Grandpa explained it this way. This is the beginning. This is the end. And this is God. And God encompasses the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end are in God. Now, I said all that to say, he is the finisher. He has authored our life. He has written the book on our life. From the time we came out, we took our first breath, he was there. From the time we leave this earth and take our last breath in these mortal bodies, he will be here. And when we step over into eternity, he will be there. Because he has gone, Jesus went away to prepare a place for us. He went back to the Father so that where he is, we can be also. So he's already telling us, okay, I've already prepared this place for you. I'm going to finish this work. He is well able to perform the good thing that he has promised in our life. So he is the author and finisher of our faith. And the word finisher in the Greek means completeness. There is nothing lacking. If we allow him to finish our lives, there is nothing lacking for us. You know, we look at things that we do in the natural, and you know, sometimes we can kind of half do something, or we can get through with something, but it really isn't a good job. We just really haven't done, or maybe we did do the best that we possibly could do, and it still wasn't good. But when we place our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he paid, when he said, "It is finished," guess what that means? It is finished. There is nothing else that needs to be added, nothing else that can be added. So as the finisher of our faith, he's already taken care of everything. And so we have to continue to keep our focus on him, continue to look to him, continue to allow him to be the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, I am not a social media person, so I'm not looking at how many likes I got, or if somebody gave me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, or gave me a heart or anything like that. But there are a lot of people out there who are. And it's sad that we allow our life to be driven by how many likes we get, how many hearts we get, or who said something really good about me. And I can relate to the who said something really good about me, because like I said, I don't do the social media stuff. But my feelings can be hurt if you say something bad about me. And they'll be hurt for a long time, so don't say anything bad about me, okay? Yet, we forget about what Jesus endured. The shame, the smiting, the beating that he endured, not because he was sinful, not because of anything that he had done himself, but he endured this for me. He endured it for you. He endured it for all of mankind. And the scripture says, for the joy that was set before him. What is that joy? The fact that he knew he was going back to be with the Father. You know, I'm not going to stand here and say, oh, I think Jesus was looking forward to going to the cross. Well, I think I might be lying, because if you remember his prayer in Gethsemane, he said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But it was his obedience that allowed him to endure the cross. And as I said, we carry our feelings on our shoulders. Somebody step on our toes and we're just hurt. But what he went through on the cross, what he endured on the cross, not for himself, but for you and I, for all of mankind, what he endured on the cross, he could push it aside and look at the joy that he was going to receive when he returned back to the Father. We sometimes forget the joy that God has put in our life. You know, we can stop right now and just take a look back at the last 5 months, year, 5 years, 10 years, and think about how God has blessed our lives time and time and time again, and allowed joy to fill our life time and time and time again. But today, did you see Sister So-and-so? She looked at me like, and walked right past me and didn't say nothing, and my feelings are hurt, and I'm going to go home. I'm not coming back to church for a whole month. Sounds humorous, but it's true. It's true. But here we have an example before us, Jesus. He allowed joy to help him. I don't want to say help him. He allowed the joy that was set before him to endure the cross, despising the shame. You know, as I said, we get our feelings hurt if somebody doesn't give us a like or says something bad about us. But here we have Jesus. Not only was he beaten, he was stripped. You know, they always show that picture of him hanging on the cross. He's got the little loincloth, you know, and he's way up in Yonderville. That's not the way they did crucifixion. He's like 18 inches off the floor. He ain't got no loincloth. His mama's standing there. He's naked. He's been beaten. He's been smitten. He was beat so bad that you couldn't even tell what his face was. His visage was marred. But yet and still, he was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Step on my toe and I want to slap you. It's that simple. But we have an example. And that example is in looking at Jesus and how he endured the hardships. How he was willing to go to the cross, lay down his life, be that sacrifice for me. I always say, I take my salvation personal. Now, maybe I get a little selfish with it because I am a firm believer that Jesus died on Calvary for me. Now, everybody else gets a benefit from it, all of mankind. However, in my life, he died for me. And maybe it's because of the way that I'm wired, I have to take it personally. Because by taking it personally, it means a lot more. It has a deeper effect on me, knowing that he loves me so much that he was willing to leave heaven. He was willing to come down here, put on this flesh as man, walk this earth for 33 and a half years, allow his own creation to nail him to a cross for me. He did this for me. And if you know anything about Roman crucifixion, now, they didn't crucify Romans. They crucified slaves. And even when they crucified slaves, they were crucifying the worst of the worst of the slaves. And when the Pharisees and the scribes sent Jesus, went to the Romans to have Jesus crucified, they did it because they knew there was a scripture in Deuteronomy that talks about cursed is every man that hangs on the tree. So by putting them to be crucified, all the people that had been looking towards Jesus as their Messiah, looking towards him, and you know, and that's something else too. How do we look? What you looking at? You're looking at a healer, deliverer, somebody that pays your bills? Are you looking at the Paschal Lamb, the one who gave his life for all of mankind? The one that, although we live in these mortal bodies, these sinful bodies, the sin nature is still alive, but it's been put under his feet. So we have to look at who it is. And I meant to ask that question when I first started, and I forgot. What you looking at? Every time I would say that, I would laugh. Because I'm thinking, what you looking at? Are you looking at the world? Are you looking at your loved one, your family, your friends? Are you looking at Jesus? Because he is the only one who can do something about your situation. Now you say, well, I can ask my family or my friend and they'll give me some money and help me out of this mess. It ain't all about money. Because the money, if our nation keeps going the way it's going, is going to be used for wallpapering. But heaven and earth is going to pass away. It's going to go back to dirt. Our bodies are going to go back to dirt. But it's eternity. It's his word that is going to remain. We have to look at Jesus as being the word of God. We have to look at him as being the Lamb of God. That Paschal Lamb. The one who was slain. Not for his own sins, but for the sins of everybody else. And as I said, when the Pharisees and the scribes had him, went to the Romans to have him crucified, they knew that by putting him on that tree, some people were going to think, well, hey, if he's hanging on the tree, then he's cursed of God, and he can't be the Messiah, so I'm going to look elsewhere. So many things arise in our life that cause us to look elsewhere. There is no place else to look. The only place for a believer to be looking is looking unto Jesus. The only place for a believer to be steadfast is looking unto Jesus. And after he endured the cross, after he despised the shame, you know where he's at? He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He went through all of that for me. I'll let you share for you. But right now, he is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. What does that mean? That means all power, all authority. And what is so beautiful about it, it's not just that he is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. First off, because he is sitting, that means he's at rest. Because he is sitting, that means that his work is done. And as I said earlier, when he said, it is finished, that's exactly what he meant. It is finished. There's nothing else that needs to be done, nothing else that can be done. But he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's seated there in power. He's seated there in authority. I love him because he allows me to be seated there with him. This isn't a seated in the future, but I will be seated in the future. But it's a seated right now. It's a seated in having him, having the Holy Ghost manifested in me out of my life, which is what gives me that power, what gives me that authority. And this isn't a knock you down. That's not the kind of power and authority I'm talking about. I'm talking about the power and authority that will give you a witness to somebody's life, that will allow you to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. That tell them that, look, I can tell you what he did for me. Come on out of your mess. See, we sometimes forget that salvation isn't a selfish thing. Salvation is something to be shared. We need to be doing the Great Commission, going out into all the world and telling them. Now, when I say all the world, I'm not saying you got to pack up and go to Africa. What I'm saying is the person sitting next to you at work or somebody you may meet in the grocery store. And now I'm not saying take your Bible and beat them over the head either. Because we have to use wisdom. And we have to know when God opens up the door, that's when you step through it. But if God doesn't open the door, we don't kick the door down trying to tell somebody about Jesus, because all that's doing is making them more on the defense. But he gives us that power, that authority to walk in him, not just so I can say, look how good Sister Lincoln is. Oh, yeah, I got power. I got authority. You want me to knock you down again, Brother Hilton? But it's to have the power and the authority to be able to tell somebody about the sacrifice that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross. And when we look to him and we allow him to be the author and the finisher of our faith and understand the joy that he endured the cross for, we can bring some people in. You know, it's not about numbers, but it is about souls. You know, that's not saying that everybody that we witness to, we're going to see come to God, because we may not. I may plant, you may water, but it's God that's going to give the increase. But he's given us the power and the authority because he is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And if we as believers have been baptized with him unto death, are risen with him unto life, we are seated in that same power and authority that he has. So when we look to Jesus, we can find joy, peace, comfort, hope, forgiveness. If we can keep our eyes on him, on his word, on his sacrifice, I don't want to say that it will make our life a lot easier, but it will definitely make our life a lot better. So God has given us an example, which is Jesus Christ. And again, I just ask, what you looking at? Are you looking at the world? Are you looking at your friends? Are you looking at your family? Or are you looking unto Jesus and allowing him to be the author and the finisher of your faith? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just praise and magnify you. We thank you, Lord, because you care for us. We thank you for the concern that you have, for the example that you have set before us. We thank you because we know that you are able to complete that which you promised, and you're able to perform it in our lives. And Father, I just ask that you continue to help us. Continue, Lord, as when we fall short, which we will, that you will lift us up and help us to look to you, to continue to keep our eyes fixed upon you, to continue to keep our gaze upon you. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you.
In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot that goes on in our world that tries to captivate us, tries to make us keep our eyes on it, especially with things that come across social media, television, the music airwaves. Now they even got AI out trying to make that look as beautiful as it can, right? And our eyes and our minds and our hearts are captivated on beauty. Let's not get stuck on the things of the world. Who are we looking at? What are we looking at? Who are we watching? Our hearts, our eyes, our minds need to be and stayed on Jesus. Amen. A few announcements. If you haven't had the chance to give already, do so. We need your support so the gospel can continue to go out through the airwaves, out through social media. We do thank you for those that supported Ignite Prayer this past Friday. It was a blessing being here and being in the presence of the Lord. So the next time we have Ignite Prayer, please, if you have an opportunity to come out, please do so. Even if it's for 30 minutes, an hour, just to be in a collective setting and giving our Lord praise, glory, and honor. Amen. We do have Christmas baskets that are available. The last day to apply to receive one will be December 20th. And the last day to pick up that basket will be December 21st. So if you are in need of a Christmas basket or know someone that is in need, please see Sister Amelia or Sister Boyd. If you'd stand so we can be dismissed, would greatly appreciate it. We want to thank those that joined us by webcast. Hopefully we will see you on Wednesday night's Bible study at 7 o'clock. We also want to thank those that have joined us for the first time this morning. Please give everyone that is their first time a hand. What I say unto one, I say unto all, pay attention to what the Lord is doing in your life so you can stay consumed by him every day. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.